You are Locked On Jets, your daily podcast on the New York Jets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Jets podcast on this Wednesday, June 13th, 2018. I am your host, John B. from GangreneNation.com. If you enjoy this show, subscribe to it on either iTunes or Spotify, and we will deliver new episodes to your device so you can listen at your leisure. Also, if you enjoy this show, give it a good review in iTunes. We certainly appreciate that. The Jets opened up their mini camp yesterday. It's their veteran mini camp, and it's the last hurrah for the offseason program. The offseason program is divided into a number of different phases. For the veterans, you have phase one, phase two, and phase three. Phase three being OTAs, which you hear about. You have the rookie mini camp, and now you have the veteran mini camp, which is the, again, it's the last time we're going to see, at least hear about the Jets being on the practice field until training camp begins. And for the veteran mini camp, typically reporters have access to all 3 days of it, which is different from the rest of the offseason program. During the early parts of the offseason program, there's really not a lot going on, so reporters may have access to just interview players, talk with them a little bit. As the offseason progresses, once we get to OTAs, they tend to get 1 day a week. This week they're in for the entire time, so you'll get all the reports from practices, and it leaves us something to talk about. Now, one thing I'd like to preface this with is don't go crazy when you hear that a guy did well or a guy did poorly, because again, these are practices and they're not even wearing pads. These are not contact practices, so you really can't tell a whole lot from these things. But there are a few things we can take away from the developments of Tuesday, and let's jump into them. And the first one actually does not deal with the Jets directly. It doesn't deal with what happened on the practice field, at least. The Jets found out that they are not going to receive a pick from the Oakland Raiders for Christian Hackenberg. Of course, the Jets traded Hackenberg to the Raiders a few weeks ago for a conditional seventh-round pick, and the condition the pick was based on was Hackenberg lasting so long on the Raiders roster. Well, as it turns out, Hackenberg's not even going to make it to training camp with the Raiders as Oakland waives him, and no shock here. I said at the time that it was very unlikely that the Jets were going to end up getting a pick for Hackenberg, just because, I mean, I don't want to be mean to Hackenberg, but the Raiders coaches have eyes. They can see that this guy is not really NFL material. It was just a pick the Jets totally misfired on. And you know what's amazing to me is, and I'm not trying to mock you if you said this, I just expressing my disagreement. Every quarterback who comes through this team who doesn't pan out, every draft pick, it always seems like the coaching staff gets blamed for it and the team is wrong because they give up on a guy too early. Mark Sanchez. Now, in fairness to Sanchez, I will say Sanchez is the one guy who did have some success, not enough to justify the pick, not enough to say that this was a quality use of the resources the Jets utilized to get Sanchez. But Sanchez at least had some success, but lots of blame for the coaching staff, and even when they let him go, well, we don't really know if this guy, maybe this guy will have success elsewhere. The Jets didn't do him any favors, which was true, but the issue was Sanchez's talent level. Then you have Geno Smith. Again, people were hesitant. There were some people out there, I wouldn't say a majority, but there were people out there who insisted, you know, they got to give Geno Smith more of a chance. His coaching staff let him down. They put him in a bad situation. Again, so an element of truth to that, but this was a guy who wasn't that good of a quarterback and is probably never going to amount to anything in the NFL. But even with Hackenberg a few weeks ago, it was unbelievable to me. There were people who suggested that the Jets coaching staff shared some of them. Now, no, I don't think anybody said that this was a total disaster, that this was 100% of the Jets coaching staff. But there were people out there who were willing to place some blame on the Jets coaching staff, which just was incredible to me, because what tools have you seen that Hackenberg has outside of a big arm, which is not that important for a quarterback? It's not the type of thing that you can build up, that you can build a career on. You can't just have a big arm and do nothing else. I mean, what tools did you either have tools or you don't? And Hackenberg doesn't have tools, so I don't know how you can blame. You give a coach a guy with no talent. What do you expect? How's it on the coach? The only extent to which the coaching staff deserves blame is if there was anybody out there when it was suggested that the Jets take Hackenberg in the second round, if anybody said, that's a terrible idea. If anybody did not say that's a terrible idea, okay, then I'll blame you for that. But, you know, no surprise, though. I was not expecting, and you should not have been expecting the Jets to actually get that seventh round pick. I mean, I just did not see any way he was lasting on that roster, and he didn't even make it to training camp. I'm a little surprised he didn't even make it to training camp. I thought he'd at least be like a preseason cut, but he's not. The Raiders, again, they're coaching. Hackenberg's just not NFL material. I don't know that he's going to. Maybe his old college coach will. Bill O'Brien in Houston will show him some mercy and bring him into training camp, but I'm not convinced he's going to end up on a training camp roster. And he's a guy who probably should go to like a minor league, something like that. In better news, and I do have to qualify this a little bit because, again, the reporter's not been there for every practice. They've only been there for about a third of the practices so far, but every single practice you've heard great things about Teddy Bridgewater. And that continued on Tuesday. So, again, we'll monitor the rest of the week. But lots of good talk about how Teddy Bridgewater's looking. And I wrote this on gangrenenation.com yesterday. I don't necessarily look at performance as meaningful in off-season practices. But what I do view as meaningful is how a player appears to be recovering from an injury. And with Bridgewater, I think I'm not as concerned as I might be with other guys, just from the standpoint the Vikings had him active in games late last season. The Vikings were prepared to play him, and there was even talk during the season before Case Keenum had really locked the job down that they may be willing to turn the keys over to Bridgewater. But you're just getting more confirmation. It sounds like the knee's not a big issue at this point. And now the other thing I'll have to say to qualify this is we have to see how he handles taking a hit, because that's not something he's really done yet. He really only saw mop-up duty last year in Minnesota, so he hasn't taken a hit yet, so we'll have to see how he bounces back from that. But all indications right now are that Bridgewater looks pretty good, and that's a good thing for the Jets. Now, I don't know what the short-term game plan is with Bridgewater. Is it going to be a situation where they're willing to start him? Is it going to be a situation where they use him in trade bait? Very similar to what his old team did after he got hurt, trading for Sam Bradford, who at that point was with the Eagles. The Vikings traded for him, of course, 2 years ago after Bridgewater's injury. I think Sam Darnold's progress is going to have a lot to say about that. I think the Jets would love it if Darnold just took the starting job by the horns, and was ready to start week one. So I think that'll play into it. If Darnold is ready to start week one, I think it changes the calculus with Bridgewater a little bit. Maybe you view him as expendable. And if Bridgewater continues to show that the knee's not going to have an impact on him, maybe I don't think you're going to get the same return that Philly got for Sam Bradford. I don't think you're looking at a number one pick, but this is a league where there are teams that are starved for quality quarterback play. So the Jets may be able to get something in return for a team desperate. Maybe a team suffers an injury in training camp and is looking for a guy who can kind of save their season. Maybe they view Bridgewater as that guy. And again, it comes down to Darnold. If Darnold's not ready week one, there's no reason the Jets can't just keep Bridgewater and start him. And if Bridgewater's looking good, he can be I don't want to use this pun. I don't want to say he's going to be the bridge to Darnold because his name's Bridgewater. But, you know, he might be the guy that gets you through 2018, and maybe Darnold's ready to take over 2019. And I know there's some Jets fans out there who are, like, paranoid about the idea of Bridgewater leaving and Darnold being good and Darnold busting. And why would that be the thought that comes to your mind? I mean, how tortured are you as a Jets fan that that's the thought that comes to your mind? Good gravy. You know, this I've heard you don't want to let Bridgewater go till you're absolutely certain about Darnold. Well, let me tell you something. The Jets are certain about Darnold. Because if the Jets weren't certain about Darnold, they should not have traded 3 second-round picks to get him. So the Jets are certain about Darnold long term. It's a question of short term, and Darnold's status will probably have something to do with Bridgewater. Now, in some further good news for the Jets, Quincy Enunwa was spotted wearing a helmet for the first time all offseason during these offseason practices, this offseason program. Now, the first couple phases, the first couple weeks of the offseason program, you're not allowed to wear helmets anyway, so that's a factor here. But during OTAs, Enunwa was apparently not wearing a helmet, so his recovery continues. He suffered a neck injury last year during a practice at MetLife Stadium. I actually was there for that. I saw that in person. And so just a good sign for the Jets. And Nunua is a key piece. And, you know, things are starting to come together a little bit for this receiving core. And we entered the offseason with a lot of question marks, whether it was Robbie Anderson's legal issues, which are not fully resolved, but you've gotten some good news on that front. A number of the most serious charges have been dropped. And Nunua's health was another big question when it came to this receiving core. And looks like, you know, you don't want to count your chickens before they've hatched again. And some, you know, I've heard people say this yesterday, and it was a good point. Is just as I said about Bridgewater, you want to see how he handles taking a hit. You got to see how Nunua handles taking a hit coming back from a neck injury. I've read a person or two said that, and absolutely accurate. But suddenly you got the makings of a pretty solid group of receivers here. You have two good young guys, and two good young guys who I think complement each other pretty well. When you have Anderson, who's the speedy deep threat, and you have Nunua as a guy who likes to work underneath. He's big, he's physical, he can run after the catch. And I don't know who's going to be starting at quarterback for the Jets. It could be one of three guys, quite frankly. If you're telling me it's Teddy Bridgewater, I'm not shocked. If you're telling me it's Josh McCown, I'm not shocked. If you're telling me it's Sam Darnold, I'm not shocked. One of those three guys is going to be starting for the Jets come week one. And you're at least giving them a fighting chance with these two receivers. Now, I think both of these guys do have some... I think we know that they're starting caliber receivers. I think there is some question out there, how good are these guys? How good of starters? You know, there's a variation among starting caliber receivers. They're your go-to guys, your elite guys, and your more functional guys. So I think that, you know, there are some question marks. And Nunua has like 1-800 yard season to his name. And Anderson, the question is, can he build on a big year too? Some guys do, some guys don't. So there are some questions. But I think we know at a bare minimum that you've got two starting caliber receivers on this team, which probably leaves one open spot. You know, you in today's NFL, you really have three starting receivers. Jets have two of those spots filled, which is a nice thing to... It's a lot better than we've seen in recent Jets history with when they've been trying to develop some young quarterbacks. So you at least have the optimism, I think, at the receiver position could be growing. Now, it's not all sunny at the receiver position. Terrell Pryor is dealing with an injury, and Todd Bowles indicated he's probably 50-50 for training camp, for the start of training camp. So we'll see what happens there. But the Jets have more options than Pryor. And honestly, Pryor is not a guy I have a ton of high hopes for. I think that he was a guy they brought in. It's kind of a cheap upside play. You know, they're taking a flyer on him. And he does have some upside. It's not a terrible gamble, I don't think. But he's not necessarily a guy the Jets are counting on. I mean, he's on a relatively cheap one-year deal here. So this is not a guy the Jets are particularly counting on big things for, I would say. And you have other options. You know, you have the veteran insurance policy, so to speak, in Jermaine Kearse. But you also have the young guy, Chad Hansen, who, at this point, and I'm going out on a limb myself here, I think he's probably my pick. If you're asking me who the number three receiver is going to be for this team, I'm going to go with Hansen. And I know you shouldn't, I know I've lectured you about it, I know I've talked a lot about how you shouldn't buy into offseason hype, but I think, you know, I'm just optimistic about him. And I think I figured out why. I always say, I don't know why. I think it's because of our friend Mike Nania has been talking him up a lot. And I think Mike Nania is rubbing off on me. You know, his viewpoints are rubbing off on me a little bit. And, you know, he's been talking Hansen up for a few months. He's been talking about his potential. So I think that might be the reason that I'm kind of optimistic on Hansen, is that I've been hearing a lot of good things from Mike Nania about, you know, where Hansen's going. So we'll see whether I'm right or not. And hopefully for the Jets, it pans out, because then all of a sudden you have three quality young receivers, and then you can actually build something around your young quarterback. So that's all I have for today, though, as we talk about OTAs. Thanks for listening. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, if you enjoy the show, subscribe either on iTunes or Spotify, and leave the show a good review in iTunes if you do enjoy it. Hope you have a great Wednesday. We'll chat again next time.